Good morning, and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is Reformation Sunday. Pastor Alan Miller has chosen for his sermon topic, Counterfeit Gospel, based on Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Mrs. Judy Tufel is at the piano this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning, and happy Reformation to all of you. It's so good to be with you as we remember today with Thanksgiving all the work that the Reformers did and the rediscovery of the gospel, if you will. In our sermon this morning, we will be hearing about the true and the false gospel. For we will see in our epistle reading how Paul says that even Satan has a gospel, one though that is meant to deceive and to destroy. And so we praise God for all the faithful pastors and preachers who have spent their lives, all just the men and women who have spent their lives teaching the truth. And as we gather this morning, I just ask that you would keep me in your prayers. As you can probably tell, I have come down with a cold. I just picked it up coming home from Georgia, and I did take some medicine this morning, so hoping that we can make it through our service together. But let us sing our first hymn together, number 834.
Oh, God,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord, and shall not be put to shame. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people, Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from select Proverbs. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning. How are you doing today? Good, good. So I have with me today a Bible, right? Just an ordinary little Bible, and I really want to read it right now, but I seem to have a problem. What's my problem?
There's string around.
I can't open my Bible. I can't. Oh, maybe I can see a little few words, but by and large, I can't read this, right? And that becomes a big problem, because what I see is I can't just read God's Word. It's closed to me, right? Well, today is Reformation Sunday. Have you heard of that before? No, you don't know the Reformation? So this happened about 500 years ago. People had the same problem, except it wasn't because there was string that tied their Bibles closed, but it's because their Bibles looked more like this. Now, does this look like an ordinary Bible? No. What do you think this is? Can you read that? Can you read that? No? Do you even recognize any of the letters? No, it looks like chicken scratch, doesn't it? Yeah, you wouldn't know how to spell your name in chicken scratch. This is actually Hebrew. But this is the problem that people faced 500 years ago. All they had was the Bible in another language. They still couldn't just open up their Bibles at any time and read it. And, you know, so what we see is all those people who couldn't read their Bibles, they had to depend upon pastors and priests to tell them what was in the Bible. And you know what the problem with that is? Now, sometimes pastors, sometimes priests and preachers, they don't always tell you the truth. Sometimes they don't know the truth themselves. And so there was no way for people to check to see if what the pastor was telling them was true or not. And so that's what the Reformation is all about, because a bunch of priests, they were going around saying, oh, I know what the Bible says. It says you can get to heaven by really working hard, right? They were starting to sell what was called indulgences. That's a big word, right? Now, an indulgence is just a piece of paper. But they were saying that if you give me money, I'll give you this piece of paper, and guess what? Your sins would be forgiven. That's a problem, right? We don't find that in the Bible, do we? No. And so that's why Martin Luther comes along. Praise God. Martin Luther was just one of many who, he knows how to read Hebrew. He knew how to read Greek as well. And what he did was he took the Bible and he put it in the language of the average man. And so this Bible, you know, if I had better scissors, there it goes. So Martin Luther, he opened up the Bible for everyone to read it. And what we start to see is, you know, we don't get to heaven by working hard, right? We get to heaven by trusting in Jesus. We get to heaven because Jesus has done everything we need to do. Jesus, he took our sin. He died on the cross. Jesus, he lived a holy, he lived a perfect life. Never once did he sin. He did everything on our behalf. And that is how we get to heaven, just trusting in him and just falling into his arms and letting him save us. That's what the Reformation is all about, rediscovering this wonderful truth of Jesus dying for us. Well, would you please join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us the Bible, for giving us your word, and for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross for us and who has forgiven us of our sin. We thank you that you love us and you have called us to be your children. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much. You can return to your seats. You can grab a piece of candy on your way. And the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. It's been well said that if you want to convince someone of a lie, you have to mix it in with some truth. For example, if I wanted to convince you that I was a millionaire, you wouldn't believe me. You would immediately be like, "Oh, Pastor, come on, we even know your salary." You know, there's no way you're a millionaire at your age. Now, of course, you'd be right. I'm nowhere close to being a millionaire, and so I would appreciate still having a salary. But let's just say that for whatever reason, I wanted to convince you that I was. Well, then I would have to mix that lie in with some truth. Imagine that I went on to say, "Yeah, you remember a few years back the price of Bitcoin just exploded in price? Well, I invested in that just before it happened. I got a tenfold return on my investment." And all of a sudden, dear friends, you're wondering whether or not to believe me. That's very plausible, you think. Did Pastor really buy Bitcoin? He's kind of young, and perhaps he's a little more techy than I am. You see, the lie starts to become more believable simply because I mix some truth along with it. Namely, in this case, that the price of Bitcoin is super unstable and has these massive swings. Now, this is not financial advice. That's not why I am telling you this story. Nor am I just wanting to tell you how to lie better. No, this isn't deception class 101, if you will. I never want to instruct people on how to sin well. Because as Christians, we are to be people of truth, people of righteousness, and children of the light. But as such, dear friends, we need to be aware of the ways of our enemy. We have one who seeks to destroy us. And the better we know the workings of our enemy, the better equipped we will be to recognize and resist him. Our enemy, his strength, lies in his ability to deceive. Jesus calls him the father of lies. Our great adversary is a master in falsehoods, and we must be ready for him. We mustn't ever allow Satan to outwit us with his tactics, to deceive us with his tricks. No, dear friends, we must be on guard. We must be aware of his schemes, Paul says. And as Jesus commanded his disciples, we too must be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Be aware of Satan's works, not in order to copy them, but again, to simply be able to recognize them and flee, to see them coming and to guard yourself from his attacks. You see, Satan, he is no fool. You can trust me, the father of lies, dear friends, he knows how to do it. He knows how to deceive the masses. He can take one soul-destroying lie and masterfully weave it together with a whole bunch of truth, making it sound so believable. And it's a testimony to his skill that the Bible even attributes the world's blindness to him, saying that the God of this age has blinded their eyes. Seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not perceive. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many are those who walk upon it. In our epistle reading this morning, Paul makes reference to another gospel. Not that there is another gospel. Certainly, as Paul assures us, there's only one. For there's no other name given to man by which we must be saved. There's no other gospel, no other way to receive God's favor. There's only one way to receive God's smiling face. And Jesus himself testifies to it. We remember him praying in the garden, "Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me." Well, dear friends, there was no other way. And apart from Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, there can be no gospel at all. But again, in this other sense, there is another gospel. A counterfeit gospel, if you will. A gospel, so to speak, that doesn't save. A gospel that doesn't heal, that doesn't cleanse, that doesn't meet man's most pressing need. While it's really no gospel at all, it is an incredible counterfeit. When Jesus described the kingdom of heaven, he uses the parable of the man who sowed good seed in his field. But one night, Jesus continues saying that while the workers were sleeping, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat. Here we see the devil, in order to prevent the Lord's harvest, is planting tares, a counterfeit crop. A crop which, though it closely resembles wheat, is something else entirely. It appears almost identical, except at its core, that is, in its essence, it is nevertheless something else entirely. So dangerous and so destructive is this counterfeit that Paul puts a curse upon whoever preaches it. Whether it be myself or an angel from heaven, he says, if anyone should come to you preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. When we're on the lookout for the counterfeit gospel, dear friends, don't expect it to be obvious. Expect it to be a whole lot of truth mixed together with one soul-destroying lie. An accursed lie that's mixed together with a whole lot of plausibility and nice-sounding platitudes. Again, it's an unexpected tear, an unseeming weed among the wheat. The gospel of Satan isn't some blatant system of anarchy. That's not the pit which the multitudes today are in danger of falling into. The fowler's snare is never as obvious as that. No, the false gospel, dear friends, is one that preaches good works. The gospel of Satan, it will seek to improve and uplift the natural man within you. It's the gospel that appeals to the best that's within you, to be the best that you can be. It puts forward principles of charity and sacrifice. And it will promote self-help and acts of compassion until you have no time to think about the world that is to come. The gospel that we need to be looking out for, the one which Paul warns us of, is a gospel of works. A gospel that preaches salvation not by grace alone, through faith alone, but salvation by human effort. That you can somehow earn God's favor through works. That you can amend your life, you can live a certain way, and God will then accept you for being a good person. All of that, it sounds reasonable. The gospel of Satan doesn't promote strife and war. Perhaps surprisingly, though it really shouldn't be, it promotes unity. On its surface, at least, it promotes peace. It will advocate for that fraternal spirit where we will all just get along and accept each other. Where we're all appealed to be the best you that you can be. Now, that call, beloved, that to be the best you that you can be, that is a general platform that anyone can get behind. That is an umbrella that can cover every shade of opinion. There's no narrow way in this false gospel. There's no, as Jesus says, setting father against son and mother against daughter. The gospel of Satan doesn't seek to cause strife and contention, but rather it seeks to create a world in which Christ's absence would no longer be felt. A world where God would no longer be needed. And it all looks so plausible. Not only plausible, but it strongly appeals to the carnal mind. Because there's no mention of man's fallen condition. There's no mention about how sin has alienated us from God. And how by nature we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, so good is the counterfeit that it will even appropriate to itself religious language and terminology. Now, Satan, he would never be so foolish as to ever try to ignore Jesus. But even that truth, he will weave it together with his lie. Again, Satan has no problem acknowledging the life of Jesus. For he will set Jesus up as the example for us to emulate. He will preach Jesus and even fool people into thinking that they actually have him. But yet, though many acknowledge him, they still somehow fail to grasp the true gospel. So many today fall into the trap of thinking that Jesus is nothing more than an example for you. They think of him as simply the ideal man, the best man who have ever lived, who gave his life as a way to show you what love looks like. Even in Satan's gospel, Jesus is well spoken of. His deeds are admired. His compassion and works of mercy, even his teaching, is all set forward. Except he is not put forward as a savior, but simply as a mere example for us to emulate. Again, the counterfeit gospel is one of works. It's what the Galatian church fell into when they put themselves back underneath the law of Moses, requiring Paul to come in and reform their thinking. It's what the church did in Luther's day when they fell into a salvation of works. If I only pray enough, they said, if I only do enough penance, if I only confess enough and cry enough and reform myself enough, if I only buy indulgences and do acts of charity. And all of this, dear friends, Jesus becomes nothing more than a great example to emulate. The gospel of Satan, though, fails to address the fact that the natural man is desperately sick and incurably wicked, and that no amount of self-reform can make you acceptable in God's sight. We can never attain holiness just by self-help and good role models. We can never justify ourselves before God and earn His favor. When man's need is seen as nothing more than a simple, or that a simple self-reform can cure, and when Jesus becomes nothing more than a mere example, then you can be certain that you have a false gospel. You have a bloodless, powerless Christ. A crossless gospel that has deceived you and will destroy you on the last day. Dear friends, this is why we remember and celebrate the Reformation this morning. For we are reminded how the church always needs reforming. For it is always being attacked and deceived. In Paul's day, in Luther's day, and in our day still. As our proverb reminded us this morning, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It seems right that we should have to amend ourselves to earn God's forgiveness, but such thinking is the way of death. It is Christ alone who atones for sins. The Lord Jesus has done what we can't do for ourselves. It is Christ and Christ alone who can wash away and has washed away in our baptisms all the guilt and shame. It is He who can make us righteous in God's sight. Jesus' blood isn't a mere show. It is power. It cleanses and it removes all spots and wrinkles on the soul. It takes away sin and it clothes us with His own righteousness. That is the true gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ coming to this world to save sinners. While we were sinners, Jesus died on the cross, paying the penalty of our sin, declaring that while we were yet unborn, it is finished. That is the true gospel. And that is what we must be about, dear friends. Yes, continue to do good works, continue to love and do good, but don't mistake that for the gospel. Cling to Jesus Christ, call upon His name, repent of your ways, and rest yourself upon His righteousness, and He will save you. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, number 655. At this time, excuse me, we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that you are full of grace and truth, that you are a God who cannot lie, that there is not even a shadow that is found within you, for you are holy and perfect, and you are the God of light. Lead us then to follow in your footsteps and to love truth. Put within us that new nature that loves and trusts in you above all things. And lead us to love your word. Put a hungering and thirsting within us so that we may long for your goodness and to know you more each day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A gracious God, you are a God of truth. We ask that you would lead us to shun the lies of the evil one. Teach us by your word to trust in you alone for salvation. While the devil seeks to deceive us and to lead us astray, keep us steadfast in your gospel truth. Lead us to forsake all ways except for the one that you yourself have made. Humble us to see that we can never earn your favor, but lead us to praise you that you are gracious and merciful to forgive sins in Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy Lord, as you are perfect, so lead us to strive to be perfect ourselves. As you are holy and as you have brought us to be your children, conform us into your likeness. Though we dare not trust in our works, still lead us to love righteousness. And in joyous thanksgiving, lead us to return thanks to you by living for you. Use us to shine your light and your love to those around us, and help us to reject sin in all of its ways. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we pray for all those who are hurting in mind, body, and in spirit, for those who are sick, and for those who have lack and need. Provide for all of the needs of those of your creation, and have mercy and compassion upon those we lift now before your gracious throne. We lift before you Millie as she continues in rehab, for Roy and his feet, grant healing to him so that he can return to the fellowship of the saints. We pray for Maria and myself and Lord, for all for whom we pray, let your gracious will be done, and use all trials as a testimony and bring us closer to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 656.